A blessing, isn't he? Let him know he's a blessing. Don't take people for granted. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, one verse. Title of the message, When Revival Comes. When Revival. We'll be in revival this week. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I was glad to hear from Brian. A couple weeks ago, they saw a spot on his lung. They took another test and it's gone now. We're glad for that. We praise God. There's a lot of people need prayer. I know Mona Hargett's here today and her family needs prayer. The huge accident about a week ago out there in California, even the children, several in their family were injured. Pray for that. So you can talk to Mona about that. Brother Mike Freimer was a real blessing Wednesday. He talked about members in the church being part of the body, and what a great message. You didn't get to hear that. Was that message taped? If you miss out on these messages, you ought to see John. Get a tape of those messages. I tell you, we've been having some great preaching around here lately, man. I'm telling you. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Good crowd. Building's almost completely full. Thank you for coming to hear the word of God. Thank you for buying chairs. A couple weeks ago, I told you I needed 100 of those chairs at $20 a piece, and we've got about 65 of them now. Kids are using for school and stuff like that, and it's really a blessing. And I think there's even a couple in the foyer that you might. You want to know what they are, there. I think there's a couple in the foyer that we're using. There will be, the book table will be open this week. Lori will be running our book table. I've got some more books, should be arrived tomorrow from Dr. Lacey. But Lori will be running the book table out there in the foyer during the revival, so you could see her. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm so glad you're here. Please make sure you come back tonight. Come back to hear Dr. Roy Thompson. Boy, this Northeast Ohio, Bob, has been blessed by great preachers. You had Roy Thompson in Cleveland. You had Bruce Cummings over there in Massillon. What was a great preacher over in Akron. I can't pull his name up right. Billington in Akron, Ohio. Then down there in Canton. There was a Henninger. Yeah, I'm talking about these men are all in heaven now, but boy, there was some great men of God in this area. Whew. Northeast Ohio has been blessed, trust me, with God's great men that he's raised up. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, if you meet the criteria that he put before us, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're going to be preaching about the old paths all this week. How many want the old paths? Well, this is the criteria to get the old paths. You don't have revival, you won't have the old paths. Heavenly Father, I believe what I'm going to preach today is what you put in my heart. I sure want to be a blessing. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God and Holy Ghost, go up and down each pew, and I pray that you'll work in every man and woman's heart. I pray that Christians would draw closer to you today. I pray I would draw closer to you. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would come to know you as Savior today, Father. Comfort those hearts that are hurting so much. And bless everyone, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This week we're having a special series of messages. And we're going to try to light your fire. I'm going to try to get my fire lit. We're going to try to light the fire of some preachers. This coming Tuesday morning, 50 to 100 preachers will be here. And I'm going to tell you, the hope of America is not in the White House. The hope of America is in the church house. Turn me down just a little bit, John. I think I'm a little bit too loud. But those preachers, I love preachers. And I'm going to tell you, preachers are a key. Because if you can get preachers pumped up, you get the pulpits hot, and then they go out and preach to the people, then you got a country that's back up for God. So you need to pray for this preacher, that preacher over there, and the rest of our preachers, and you need to pray for the preachers that are going to be here this week. We're going to try to spark some revival, real revival, in our lives and in the churches. The theme this week is the old paths. The old paths, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Listen, our country desperately needs the old paths. I don't have to tell you people that. Our country's went so far away from God. We need to get back to the old paths. How many believe we need the old paths? Say amen. To get those old paths, we're going to have a sweeping revival. We're going to have a special anointing from heaven. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about a jibber jabber. I'm talking about when God's Holy Spirit comes down and moves men's hearts to want to seek His face and to do right. I mean, the power of God moving so much that Christians say, yes, God, I want your will, not my will. The old paths will never come, though, until the sweeping revival in America from God Almighty reaches down to the children of God. That means me. That means you. Psalms 85:6, David said, the psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know, America is never going to see rejoicing again unless there's a revival. I'm going to tell you right now, unless we have a Holy Ghost sent revival, there's not going to be rejoicing. Today I want to give you four things about when revival comes. Four quick thoughts for you to have to think about when revival comes. Number one, revival comes when God's people from their heart desire revival. Verse 14 says there, you just stay right there. I'm just going to preach out of this verse this morning. I'm not going to leave that verse. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, boy, a couple weeks ago, Bobby talked about real Christians, being a Christian. We're called Christians after Christ. But did you know something? Number one, I said, revival will never come until God's people fall on their faces and really want desire, have a heart for revival in their life themselves. Listen, Brother Coolidge, we were talking about this in the van. The lost world doesn't care nothing about the old paths of God. They don't care nothing, Brother Jack. They don't care nothing about the old paths of God. The lost world doesn't care about revival. They don't desire revival, Brother Mike. The lost world has no concern for the things of God. None whatsoever. But get this, I'm laying a foundation. 2 Corinthians 7, 2:14 says, they are spiritually discerned. Amen. And they cannot know them. The Bible, matter of fact, what we're doing today is foolishness to them. Oh, look at those people. Those people are foolish down there. You know, Brother Cotiver, ever since we were out yesterday, that one boy that said he was a Jehovah's Witness, I thought of something to say to him after we left him. He said, we witnessed to him, and I gave him a tract, and he said, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. You know what came to me last night? He was a Jehovah's Witness, and he's still seeking the truth. Because you could see he didn't know where he was heading. Listen, the lost world needs revival, but they don't even care about it. They have no concern for it. Say with me, until God's people really desire to see revival, revival will never come. Get this from me. I'm on number one. I'm going to go to number two. How many want revival? Amen. Only God's people can start a revival. if we are to have a revival, Captain, it'll never come from the world. It can't. Grandma, only God's people can start a revival. So revival is counting on my people, God's people. Are you with me? So I said, number one, revival can only come with God's people seeking it first. Number two, revival, by the way, if I don't care about having revival, you don't care about having revival, revival's not going to come. I mean, God's got to get down deep in our soul and spirit saying, man, you need me. See, we've got to long to have revival. It'll never come unless we do. Number one, revival never comes only with God's people seeking it first. It cannot come outside of us. So unless God's people seek revival, it cannot come. And it will not come. It's got to come first through God's people. How many understand what I'm saying? Amen. I'm giving you a truth today. When revival comes, it only can come, number one, revival can only come when God's people seeks it. Number two, revival comes when God's people humble themselves. In order for revival to come, we must be broken. I must be broken. You must be broken. Psalms 51:10, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Listen, our hearts are so wicked. Our hearts are so filthy. We need a clean heart. Psalms 51:17 says this. By the way, let me read that 51:10 again. "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Most Christians don't have the right spirit. Most Christians don't have the right attitude. Hey, until we get our attitude adjusted, we're never going to have revival. You know, it's kind of like Mike sells. I'm looking. Mike will understand me. The older people, we used to have in the old TVs, the old black and white TVs and stuff. We had a little thing called rabbit ears. You people with cable vision, satellites, but I'm talking about people with silver hair know what I'm talking about. Emma, my Betty, my and remember how those TVs we'd have them turned on. We'd have them turned on, but they weren't tuned in. And boy, we'd have one guy with the aluminum foil and everything. And they would move it. They would, "Stop, don't move, stay there. You hold it for 30 minutes, and then I'll hold it for 30 minutes. How many know what I mean? See, a lot of Christians are like that today. We're tuned on, but we're not tuned in. Remember the jagged the lines? How many remember that? The kids are too young to know this, but the old people are getting a kick out of this right now. See, the TV was Wes. Wes knows about it. They were. Because he had Carl hold the TV for him. But then it was Wes's turn. Wes ran out the door and said, "I got to go, Carl. I'll do it for you tomorrow." But he didn't. See, we got to get the right kind of heart, the right kind of spirit. Man, like Mike prayed this morning. I was so glad you prayed that, Mike. Mike, if we don't even get in the right attitude, in the right frame of mind, revival will never come. That prayer was sent from heaven. We've got to have the attitude of revival. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." Then he says, he goes down seven verses, 51:17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." Not only do we need the right spirit, we need a broken spirit and a broken heart. Amen. Because until we get broken, God can't use us. When revival comes, we will have the right kind of heart, the right kind of attitude, the right kind of mind, the right kind of spirit. And look, we'll want the things of God. Are you with me? Our lives have to be broken so God can work in them. Not only does he have to be broken for him to work in them, he has to be broken so he can work through us. Not only in us, but through us. You know, I preached a few weeks ago, I preached about Gideon's putting out a fleece. And boy, a lot of people, I had more responses about that message. I mean, I can't tell you, half the church has talked to me probably about that message. And I'm glad it was a blessing to you. How many remember when preacher got that, preached that message, why no fleeces? If you didn't get to hear that message, get Johnny and run that tape off. That message I'm going to keep for revivals. Why no fleeces? If you didn't get to hear it, make sure you hear it. When half the church talks to you about that message, that means God really moved in it. But I think, Josh, when I preached that message, I just preached on the fleece. I didn't get to go into what the next chapter went in. And Lizzie, when you read chapter 7 of Gideon and his 300 men, Brother Rick, in verses 19 and 20, God told him to do something. God said, Gideon, when you go, I want you to blow the trumpet. Judges 7, 19 and 20. He said, 19 and 20. He said, I want you to blow the trumpet. And then he said, I want you to break the pitchers. Because, see, Eddie, inside those pitchers were lamps, lights. And see, and those lights couldn't shine for him until the pitcher was broken. You see, our lives have to be broken, Jimmy. Really, God has to break things out of our life, get things out of our life that, you know, we just got to say, oh, God, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but thine. Amen. He has to break our will, break our spirit, break our heart, so all we want is him. And see, they broke those pitchers, and then they had the glow, the light. They could shine. How many want to shine for Christ? We're never going to shine until we get broken. Amen. Can anyone say amen? Amen? So revival can only come when we get when God cleans a heart, a renewed heart. I said number one, revival only comes when God's people will. God's revival can only come with God's people wanting it. Without God's people, it cannot come at all. I said number two, revival only comes when God's people will humble themselves. Boy, I thought about Bruce Cummings. I love Bruce Cummings. That man was, I was telling Mark, he was probably the most humblest man I've ever met in my entire life. I remember one day we went to Bruce's house. I only went there one time. I went there one time. I went by just so he'd put his hands on me and pray over me. And I think at that time I brought him something for him and his wife. Like health issues that they had some. I think I had some sea silver at that time or something. I brought it to give to him. I thought would help him at that time. That we had some stuff that was medical that helped people. They no longer have that stuff anyways. But at the time I went and took him that. And I said, Dr. Cummings, would you pray over me? I think Pastor Dave was with me. I don't remember who else. Maybe a couple other guys were with us. And he said, no, preacher, I want you to pray over me. Eventually, after our urgent, he prayed over us. But what a man with a humble spirit. You talking about, you give, every time you tried to praise him, he just said, glory to God. Amen. God, give you the glory. Amen. See, we number one, we got only revival only comes when God's people seek it. Number two, and by the way, and revival can only come through God's people. Number two, it's got to come with a humble heart. Yes. Number three, I'm going to really get excited about this one because this is really one of the big ones. Revival comes only when God's people pray. If you'll notice verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, that's number two. We're talking about when revival comes. I said not, revival comes when God, only God's people can seek his face. Has people earnestly. You know, unless God's people really seek and pray, revival never comes. We'll seek, we'll provide, and prove out to be is how much you and I pray. No, I'm serious. If you and I don't spend some time praying this week, don't expect a lot of things to happen. we will have what we pray for. Yep. Did you hear what I said? We will have what we pray for. Amen. How many are hearing me today? Unless God's people really seek and pray and seek God's face, revival never comes. You read about all the great revivals down through time. Read about the Welsh revival, all the great revivals. They all started with something. They started with people seeking, God's people seeking, and they started with people praying. They just kept praying, and God came down. By the way, are you in that chapter, 2 Chronicles 7:14? If you notice in verse 12, I have heard thy prayer. Verse 15, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto thy prayer. How many see that? God's waiting. He's looking. He's watching. Let me see are they really sincere about revival? You know, revival comes when God's people seek his face. By the way, I noted in 1 Kings 18, chapter you guys are all familiar with. Remember Elijah? Remember he took on the 450 prophets of Baal? How many remember that? Yeah. Boy, remember they had those altars and he had them put water on everything? But I want you from verse 37 all the way to verse 41, there's a great truth there. See, that whole nation of Israel had went out into sin. And there was a drought for 3.5 years. See, there's always a famine when there's no revival. And if you'll notice, don't turn it, but when you study it, you'll see in chapter 18 of 1 Kings 18, in verse 37, it says, and he says, Lord God, please show. I'm praying. He got down and prayed and said, God, show them that you're a true and living God. Come down and show us with fire. And boy, Elijah prayed down fire from heaven, and the fire came. Boom! Boy, the altar, boom! Boy, wow! And boy, when the people saw the fire from God fall, the Lord is God. Boy, they humbled themselves. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. Boy, and then it says, he said, yep, there's abundance of rain. Because see, when all the people got down and got their hearts right, got humble and started seeking God and praying, revival started to come. I want to give you one thought about this, about praying. Did you know it just took one man? It took one man to start a revival. It took one man to pray down fire. I mean, I know the revival came later, but I'm going to tell you, it was one man that brought the spark. One man prayed down, knew there was a God in heaven that could do something, and one man brought revival. Brought the fire of God into a people that were away from God. He brought down with prayer. He brought the fire of God and turned the whole thing around. One man, look up here. One person can start a revival. One person can bring spark from heaven. I'm telling you, maybe one of you could pray enough this week to be to bring down fire from heaven. Think about it. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. What? It just takes one person to bring down fire. Once there's a fire, boy, then it really catches. You ever notice, if I let a match, boy, it's stretched, but boy, it's a blaze. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be wonderful today on October 4th, 2009, if God's Holy Spirit would get in our hearts and we'd say, I'm going to be that man. I'm going to be that woman. I'm going to pray down heaven. I'm going to bring down fire for God. I'm going to bring revival to Bethel Baptist Church. I'm going to pray it down. I'm going to pray it down. I'm going to pray it down. I mean, maybe there's a family you know right now that are in hurting. They're going through all kinds of issues in life. Maybe you could pray for them this week and they would come to their church revival and maybe you could have change their life for everlasting because of your prayers. Maybe you know someone's not saved. You got friends and family. You got friends and family that are not saved. You could pray down fire on God, from God from heaven this week, and maybe God would come down and they would come to hear the word of God and get saved if you try to bring down fire from heaven. Am I making any sense to anybody? What I'm saying is, you could be that person that makes a difference. You could be, oh, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Every one of you could bring revival here this week. That's the truth. Elijah, he one man made the difference. One person can make the difference. You know, I told Billy's church over there at Open Door Thursday, I said, you know, Open Door, you never know how really one person can affect so many. You could reach someone this week that you think, well, we won't reach them, but nothing will ever come from it. You know, I was telling Open Door, you know, they called, and I was there to answer the phone and send them Billy Turner. I'm not trying to take any credit, but God has used my life to help build some of these preachers. And I said to Open Door, I said, you know what? There's a church at 232 North McCord Road in Holland, Ohio. They run about 30 or 40 people. It's a church that some of you will never be in. You'll never hear about them. You don't know nothing about them. But you know what? Bethel Baptist Church, there was a church back in 1968, Bobby. I'm glad there was a church on McCord Road that had just a handful of people, but they cared about someone going to hell. I'm glad there was a church that cared about me. I'm glad there was a people that cared about me. I'm glad there was a pastor that cared about me. I mean, a kid off the streets that the world gave up on. But they didn't give up on me. Amen. Walked in there with my leather coat and hoodish waist. And they embraced me with love. And God saved my soul later. I've not done great things for God, but I'll tell you, I have touched a few people's lives. And I said to Open Door Baptist Church, I said, you know what? You know, when you called for a pastor, if that little church over in McCord Road wouldn't have ever took time to reach me and pray for me, I wonder if I would have been on the phone to tell you about a man named Bill Turner. I wonder if Bill Turner's life would have been reached that he could have went to you. You see, you never know how far-reaching effect reaching one person can be. Peter, Andrew, John chapter 1, verse 41. Andrew went and got his brother Peter. You know, Peter became, the Bible says in Galatians 2, that Peter became a great pillar of the church. See, you never know, one of these little bus kids you're bringing, God might do something phenomenal with those bus kids. You don't know what God's going to do. The trouble is we need to get concerned to get close to God so we do reach them. We're missing out because, Brother Mike, we need revival, and we're not revived, and people are being lost because we're not reaching them. I thought about the book of Acts, chapter 12, when Peter was in jail. And the Bible says, I think it's 12:12 of Acts. It's 12:5, I think it is, Acts 12, verse 5. It says that Peter was in jail, and the church made prayers without ceasing. And do you know what happened? Because they made prayers without ceasing, God sent an angel, and God got Peter out of that jail. All because the church prayed. I wonder how many people are lost out there this week. Brother Mike, if this church could really get down in oneness as a members together as a body, and we could pray, oh God, move people's heart to be saved. I wonder how many people that God could reach this week and take them out of the bonds of prison of hell. I wonder how many people's lives could be transformed if we would have prayers, if we would pray down heaven. So look up here. How many want revival? Amen. Revival ain't going to come unless we pray. By the way, your prayers this week could affect someone's eternity, someone's life. Could affect someone. What happens to people? You say, I never looked at it that way, preacher. We're talking about revival. We're talking about getting to the old past. That's right. You don't get the old past till you get to revival. That's right. Revival brings the old past. Maybe you know a lost family member or a friend. Would you even bother to pray for them this week? Would you even bother to ask them, invite them to come? Well, they'd never come. Why don't you ask them? Well, they've already told me no. Ask them again. You know someone that's life is all tore up? There's a lot of people's lives tore out there right now, folks. People are hurting out there. I talked, me and Brother Kativer talked to him, a senior citizen yesterday. We were there about 10, 15 minutes. Just, I prayed with him. His name is Ralph. Down here off of Cole Avenue, back in those homes back there, his wife has Alzheimer's disease. And he's trying to deal with that. We prayed with him. You'd be surprised how many people are hurting out there. We need to pray for them.
Right.
You know, I wonder if we really believe we can make a difference in their life. Maybe you know someone that's going through some marital problems. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could pray for people this week that you know they're going through all kinds of family problems, and when you get them into church and you could pray down the power of God and their life could be transformed this week? It could if we, that's revival. I'm going to share something with you. Years ago in Toledo, when I was just a young kid preacher, how many know my best friend Joe Tutek, my good friend Joe Tutek, used to be a deacon. They were going to come this week, but Cindy hurt her back. Joey got hurt when he was young, as far as Christianity. He dropped out. And I remember one week I said, I was in a revival. I wasn't preaching it. Carl Hatch was preaching the revival. Brother Carl Hatch, maybe some of you have heard of Carl Hatch. I think he's in heaven now. But he was preaching over at Bethel Baptist Church over in Glendale Avenue in Toledo, Ohio. I was on second shift at the time. I wasn't in the ministry yet. And I went every day to hear him preach. The first day, boy, God just got a hold of my heart. And I thought about Joe Tutek. And I said, Brother Joe, you got to go. You got to come with me. You got to come and hear this man preach. He said, I can't go. I fasted 4 days. I said, God, I'm never going to eat until Joe comes. I prayed all that week. And I fasted all that week. And on the last day of the revival, Joe came. And from that, Brother Wayne, from that day on, Joe, and that's been over 30, 40 years ago, Joe's been in church. And I didn't have a church. He became a faithful member and my deacon in my church. I mean, even though I was actually helping myself. But I saw what prayer could do. I saw what fasting could do. Look up here. We just got to get serious.
Yes, right.
See, we have just got to get the sports out of your head and get all the crazy world out of your head and try to get their thoughts on the kingdom of God. If we could just get focused in on the revival, revival can come.
That's right.
Our God's the same. We just don't tap into it.
Amen. That's right.
All right. Lastly, you know what? I'm gonna say it's 12 o'clock. It's almost 12. I'll get my last one. Some of you know, you either know someone that's lost, or you know you have a family member or a friend that you work with that's, it's either lost or they're out of church, or they're going through all kinds of difficulties in their marriage. You know someone. I know you do. Every one of you, because every person has a circle of 200 people around them. Every person has a circle of about 200 people around them. You can't tell me you don't know anyone that doesn't need to be reached for Christ this week.
That's right.
And here's the thing. Why don't you, like right now, who's ever in your heart right now, like if the Holy Spirit's putting someone in your heart right now, you ought to say, oh God, you're speaking to me right now from heaven. You ought to dedicate that person that's in your heart right now. I'm going to do all I can to get that person in church this week. God, I'm going to do all I can to pray for him. God, I'm going to do all I can to witness. God, I'm not going to let up. I'm going to bring down fire. God, I'm going to pray down fire for him. I'm going to pray down fire. I'm glad I prayed down fire for Joe Tutek. I'm glad I made a difference for his life. You can make a difference for somebody's life. Every one of you, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're young, if you're old. You can make a difference. You can make a difference if you want to make a difference. God help us. God help us to want to make a difference. It's if we want to make a difference. If it's we want to make a difference. Fire will fall. Fire will fall if we want it to fall. We'll just seek after it. Good night. Let's wake up. They're going to build the third temple. Jesus is coming back. This could be the last revival. I'm bringing one of the greatest preachers in the that ever walked the face of the earth to your church this week. If you don't pray, if you don't come, if you don't try to get people, you're going to stand before God. Lastly, I said number one, revival can only come when God's people seek after it. I said number two, revival only comes when God's people humble themselves. I said number three, revival only comes when God's people will pray down heaven earnestly. And lastly, number four, revival only comes when God's people seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. If you'll see that, he says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive. Then will I heal. Are you with me? Ladies and gentlemen, we want revival, then we're going to have to get our hearts right with God. Until our hearts get right where God wants. Look up here. Many Christians, they've wondered, what's stopping me? You are. If you got something in your life, by the way, none of us are perfect. And I understand that. But some of you, God knows if you, God spoke to you. Some of you have got some real habits or some things in your life that you know God's not happy with. You know God's not happy with it. I don't know what you're, I don't know what it is. You know, because everybody's different. But if you're saved, if you're a child of God, Brother Wayne, one thing about the child of God, the Bible says the Holy Ghost lives in us. We got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And Annie, when I don't do right, the Holy Spirit grieves. And the Holy Spirit, if I do wrong, he shows me. I lost my temper about a month ago over a football game, and boy, the Holy Spirit just grieved. And boy, since then, I've just walked away from it. Amen. I said, God, I'm dishonoring you with my life. Sports is not that important. I'm going to serve you. Amen. I'm not saying I'll never watch a football game with some of the guys. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to control me no more. Don't ask me how they won, because I haven't watched them. The last game I watched with Ohio State is when they played Navy. That's the last game I saw. That's the truth. And I didn't watch the Cleveland Browns, and boy, am I glad I haven't. What a year not to watch them. Isn't God good? Look up here. But here's the thing. God speaks to us about something. Okay, God. But then we don't stop. Amen. We want revival, but see, until we're going to cleanse. See, I don't know what those secret things you have, but you know. Amen. Until, can I get down where people live? Until you guys clean, until we clean our act up, God ain't going to give us revival. I mean, say, God, I want revival, then go out and drink all night. You ain't gonna have revival. God, give me revival this week. You go out and get a pornography film. Are you stupid? Are you dumb? Hello? By the way, you don't have to go buy pornography films. They're on TV. You watch it on TV all the time. It's all filth on there. Let's get where everybody lives now. And it might not be that. You know what I gotta watch? I'm a chow hound. I have to get my wife stay right close to God, because I can't eat everything I want to eat. You say, well, that's sin. It's sin if you know it's wrong. To know to do right and to know something's sin and to do it, it's sin. To know to do good and not do it, it's sin. Yep. Listen, sin comes in all kinds of different packages and different forms. We all know it's wrong not to read our Bible. We all know. I'm talking about the other stuff that we take for granted. How bad do you want revival? You can make a difference this week in your life, and you can make a difference in other people's lives. it's all bad, how bad you want. Tonight, we got 6 o'clock. One of the greatest men that's ever walked the earth, Dr. Roy Thompson. He's 76 years old. He's an older man. He's in the twilight.
Glory to God.
I'm going to tell you right now, he still can preach.
Yep.
And he's a straight shooter. And he's still got the anointing on him.
Yep.
And when he preached, I had a man tell me the other day, I'm all done. 4 or 5 years ago, we went to a couples retreat. It was like a marriage counseling thing over at Brother Lexall's church. It was a marriage seminar. And about 10 couples went from Bethel. Me and Rosie went. I told this man the other day, I hadn't seen Roy Thompson. When I found out Roy Thompson was doing the marriage thing and him and his wife, I hadn't seen Roy for so long. Me and Rosie wouldn't have any trouble in our marriage. I really didn't go because of my marriage. I'm just being honest with you. I just went because I wanted to be with Roy Thompson. That's the truth. But here I got couples that went with me because I promoted it. And one of the couples told me, preacher, and I didn't even know it. We were getting ready to get a divorce. He said, boy, I'm so glad you promoted it. Go there. It saved our marriage. God even blesses us when we have a half-hearted heart about stuff. I just wanted to be with Roy. I just like to hear him preach. He can preach on Mickey Mouse. I'll listen to him. I guarantee you'll get something out of it. We're all done. Revival comes when God's people, and it only starts with us. If it don't start with us, it's never going to come.
Yep.
So don't pray about, if you don't care about, it's not going to come. The world's not going to do it. It's got to start with us.
Yeah.
If you want the old past, it's got to start with us.
That's right.
God's meant, my people, we've got to humble ourselves. Got to get the right kind of heart, right kind of attitudes. We got to pray. And we just got to seek those sins. Seek our weak. We got wicked ways. Every one of us got something in our life. God, show me what it is and help me clean. We got a clean house. The girls always have like spring cleaning, and now we got fall cleaning coming up. Well, we got to have spring and fall cleaning in our lives. God, if there's some stuff in there that shouldn't be in there, take it out.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'll help me to have revival. Cleanse my heart, make my heart right. Oh God, in front of this whole church, I just want you to examine my life, and Lord, show me anything wrong, Father. Lord, you showed me a few weeks ago about some things, and I've made some real adjustments. I've repented of that, having let sports control my life. And Lord, I repented, and I apologize to my whole church about it too, Lord. It's not got control of me like it had. And I praise you for it. And Lord, I just pray that if there'd be anything, Lord, I don't know what people've got, but I just pray you'll take it out. Give us revival. Lord, there's people out there this week that could be reached. God, send fire down. Give us some more Joe Tutex. Oh, God. Have some people today that want to be Elijahs, that make a difference for other people, that would pray down fire from heaven to make a difference. Give me some Andrews that would bring some Peters that would become pillars in the church. Give me a church of people that would pray that get people that are in bondage, set them free. Lord, we know people. Lord, there's a lady, Lord, this last night me and Kenny Coughlin, we witnessed to a lady at McDonald's, and she said she'll be here tonight. And Lord, that lady's going through all kinds of trouble. And Lord, I pray she'll be here tonight. And God, I pray that this week of revival will set that lady free. Please, help us, Father. Help us at Bethel Baptist Church to know revival. Help us see an anointing from heaven this week. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you want revival, why don't you come right now? You want revival, you just come right now and get to the altar. Hey, God, bring a revival in my life. Thank you. Let's get serious. Let's get serious about revival. Let's get serious about this revival. We need to be on our knees. If you can't find a place, make a chair an altar. Anywhere you can be, just find a place and make it an altar. Find a pew anywhere, just make an altar and pray. God, please, we need revival. Our city's going to hell. Our country's going to hell. Bethel Baptist Church has got to make a difference. If we don't care, who will? If we don't care, who will? If we don't bring the fire down, when will it come? If we don't humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, how can we set those people that are in prison free? We need revival. We need revival. If you're here and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He loves you, He died for you, He rose that third day. Heaven's real, hell's real. If you've never asked Christ to save your soul, you need to get saved right now. Don't put it off. Don't be a fool and go to hell. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, people are praying. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I die, I'd go to heaven because you raised that hand. I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Let me see it. Pastor, yes. Yes, I see that. God bless you. I see two hands. Who else? Maybe I missed you. You're here and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Let me see your hands again. Let me see them. Yes, yes. Is there anyone else? Pray for, yes. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. I see three of them. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Include me in that prayer. Preacher, I don't want to die and split hell wide open. Include me in that prayer. I saw three, two ladies and one man. Anyone else? Before I pray, anyone else? Preacher, include me in that prayer. I don't want to die and split hell wide open. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. I saw at least three hands. There might have been more, but I know I saw three. Please, please, Holy Spirit of God, bring people, save them today. Lord, show them how they know for sure when they die, they go to heaven. Let them receive the love of Jesus Christ and all the forgiveness of their sins by the shed blood of Christ. Lord, just by asking them in their heart, just trust in what He's done for them. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a verse. What page are you on? Brother Mike, get ready with your Bible. You soul winners, ladies. You come. If you'd like to come, you come right now. You come right now.